And here's the question I want to ask you this morning is, who are you? You ever have somebody say, who are you? And as your pastor, as the preacher here, I want to ask you the question, who are you? What is your identity? We live in a world where, you know, we have face recognition on our phones. We have thumbprint recognition maybe at our work or where we do business. People have our identities online. And we're living in a time that some of our ancestors would not understand. I know yesterday I was trying to set some things up and I had forgot a password, and I had to basically give them blood and hair and all kinds of things to get my password back because they wanted to know who I was. Well, who are you? I've got those messages from different companies said, well, the card was used in, you know, Illinois or used, and they say, hey, is that you? And who are you this morning, Christian? Who are you? Because who you are, we need to ask these questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And why? Fundamental basic questions. And I've noticed this, that a lot of times we don't like to answer those questions because they go to the core of who we are. I ask the students in the Christian school, why are you here? Why do your parents have you here? Why do you want to be here? Who are you? That's a basic fundamental question. Our existence. And you say, well, Brother House, why would you preach on that? Well, we're living in a world today, y'all know this, that we don't know what male and female are. We don't know what is living and dead. We don't have the boundaries of who we are has changed so much that we're having to restate basic things. I want to just go through who you are. We're going to look this morning at who we were, who we are, and what that should do to us. Starting at verse 9 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Be not deceived, the Bible says. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And look, verse 11 says, and such were some of you. But here's who we are. Ye are, look what it says, washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies, verse 15, are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication, verse 18 says. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye, verse 20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Who are you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this crowd that's here this morning. We thank you as we look out and see a prettier day and folks are able to get out. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching and the teaching of your word. I pray we'd have receptive minds, receptive hearts. I pray for repentance. I pray for brokenness. I pray for rejoicing. I pray, Lord, that you'd just bless and work as only you can. Lord, we sure love you. We sure thank you. And we sure praise you today. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this morning as only you can. And then as we have choir tonight, we pray for that blessing. We thank you again for Sunday night service at 7 tonight. Pray for that blessing. But Lord, right now, right here, we ask that you do something that only you can do. Lord, I pray you'd save that soul that's nearest hell, reclaim the backslide, and help us as Christians to know who we are. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some of this is personal with me. The way I was raised, from the time I was a little boy, I was told this every time I left. I got those speeches and sermons. If we were going to somebody's house or we were going somewhere, I heard this as a little child. I remember who you are. And I can hear my granddad really raised me. And he'd say, act like you got some sense. That has stuck with me my whole life. He said, I would hear this as a little boy. Some of y'all hear this? If somebody speaks to you, you speak back. Stand up. Look him in the eye. Hold your shoulders back. Don't drag your feet. Remember who you are. If everybody else is doing it, don't you do it. I heard it over and over and over and over. I was brainwashed. And to this day, I still think that I think my grandpa's watching me somewhere, you know. Man, I better watch out. I'll be in trouble here. But I knew, I was taught very young, who you are matters. Who your name is matters. And way more important than that this morning, who you are as a Christian matters. Who are you? We asked this morning, simple question, are you born again Christian? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that heaven be a home? Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, then we would encourage you to become a Christian. But if you are a Christian, well, the Bible says in this passage who we were, who we are, and then I want to just share some thoughts with you and we'll go home. What should this do to us? Every Christian should know who they are in Christ. We're living in a world today, y'all know this, with social media. They have the most beautiful women, the most handsome men. You know, they have perfect lives. You know, we are constantly bombarded with these images of you need more money, you need more beauty, you need more this, and you need more that. You never measure up. We've got young people that are so discouraged about their life. If they don't measure up, they'll take their own life. If some girl's not as pretty as another girl, some boy is not as talented as somebody else. And we get our self-worth today, our identity, from our culture. If you get your identity from your culture, what other people say, or especially what Hollywood or the media says, you are going to be very, very let down in life. But let me say something to you this morning. In Christ, you are special. In Christ, you have an identity in Christ Jesus. Now, your flesh is going to go against that. But I want to talk, first of all, who we were. We're not going to be as excited about who we are if we forget about who we were. Look at verse 9 and 10. The Bible says a few things for us this morning. In verse 9 and 10, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, be not deceived. It says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And verse 11 says, and such were some of you. Now, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things will become new. Now, in the church at Corinth, what they were having was what we would call carnal Christians. They were saying that they were saved, but they were living like they were lost. They were saying that they knew the Lord, but yet they were living as folks who just out in wickedness and sin. It kind of reminds me a lot today. I have people all the time say, "Well, now, pray for my brother, pray for my sister, pray for my loved one, pray for my child, my parent, whoever. I don't know if they're lost or if they're saved. If they're lost, I pray they'll get saved. If they're backslid, get them back in church." And we don't even hardly know how to pray. And the reason is because they're living like they used to live. The Bible's clear on this. This is unpopular preaching. In fact, the most famous preachers in America today will not touch the Bible because the Bible will clean your life up. We talked in our men's Bible study last night. What a miraculous book it is. The Bible will spank you. The Bible will chastise you. The Bible will convict you. The Bible will strip your mind of the wickedness of this world and of your own flesh. And it says here who we were. It says, and such were some of you, but you're washed. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But to see who we are, we've got to know who we were. He said, before a person ever gets saved, they first got to get lost. I remember I was in Bible college. I heard that the first day I was there. So if you lead somebody to Christ, they got to first get them lost. I thought to myself, well, honey, all you got to do is look around. If you got any sense at all, you know you're lost. But I've learned something over time. There's people sitting in a church pew for years, lost as a ball in high weeds. I mean, on their way to a devil's hell. And they'll think they're okay. Because they put on a show. Everybody thinks they're all right. The preacher thinks they're all right. He don't know. Friends don't know. Families don't know. And they'll be lost on their way to hell. They live their whole life. I remember thinking, oh, it'll be easy to show somebody that they're lost. Not anymore. Everybody I visit in Summers County has been to Cook's Chapel. Yeah, I saved up there and everything. I've been pastor 20 years. You ain't darkened the door, but you're going to Cook's Chapel. Who we were was a bad thing this morning, church. In fact, you and I, we look back. There's some things in the Word of God we see. We need to remember, first of all, I'm going to give you some of these real quickly. The pit from which we have been rescued, Psalm 40, verse 2. You and I were on our way to hell, and we deserved hell. Let me say something to you. You say, why would a loving God send people into hell? Because we deserve hell. We are wretched and undone. We are born in sin. We are wicked and vile. I know people say, oh, brother, you can't say that. Absolutely, the Bible tells me that. I remember reading the Bible and said, oh, wait a minute, I thought I was doing pretty good. But the Bible tells me that I'm undone without Christ. We need to remember the pit from which we've been rescued. We need to remember this morning the rock from which we've been hewn, Isaiah 51:1. We need to remember the darkness from which we've been brought, Colossians 1:13. See, we've been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why would we want to ever go back in the dark again? Listen, friend, if I go to a grocery store and it don't have very many lights in it, and I'm not a light guy, I like the lights off of my house, but if it don't have many lights, I can't see. If I go to a new one and they got bright, I'm going in. I'm not going to go back to the darkness. I want to go to the light. And listen, if you know the Lord and you're living in light, you don't want to go back in the darkness. We need to remember the darkness. We need to remember the pollution right here in our text. The pollution. The abusers of themselves. Effeminate, adult. Don't it bother you, church, this morning when you see all this wicked mess that's right there on your television? I've got Instagram, and I enjoy Instagram. Some of y'all know that. How many of y'all know what Instagram is? And it shows pictures, and I follow these castle pictures in England and in Scotland and Ireland. And I enjoy seeing those pictures. I thought, man, those are neat. And they had one come right across, beautiful picture. But they had a couple getting married. And I thought, oh, okay, this. But they'll show these beautiful couples getting married. And somebody said, well, what a beautiful picture. And it was two men. Here's this castle from the 1500s. Been beautifully restored. I mean, a beautiful picture. I thought, man, what has happened to us? And they're acting like that's beautiful. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. Wait a minute. Hey, that's not what the Bible says. Don't y'all get mad at me. Y'all looking like a little peek in it. Are y'all right? I didn't come up with this. I didn't invent this. I didn't write this. I'm in the same boat. By the way, don't be too hard. It says adulterers, effeminate, abusers themselves of mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Well, it gets everybody, don't it? It gets everybody. There's none of us that's what we ought to be. And we got to remember this morning the pollution that God's brought us out of, the wrath from which we've been delivered. You and I have wrath over us. Jonathan Edwards, in his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, describes us as God holding a rock over a spider web. You ever thrown a rock through a spider web? Ain't much resistance. People got under such extreme conviction when he preached that famous message. It really was sparked a revival. And people realized, oh God, we're in a mess. We're hurting. We think of the wrath we've been delivered. We think of the death from which we have passed. We've been passed, Bible says, from death unto life. Thank God for that. Jesus rose from the dead to purchase our justification. We think of the things that God has done for us and who we were. And many of y'all remember that when you were lost. You remember that. In fact, it's part of your testimony. Man, brother, I was on my way to hell. I was going to, you know, we had it said I was going to hell in a handbasket. was on a train to hell with a hammer down. I mean, I was lost and undone. But Jesus intervened in your life. You should never forget who you were. Now, you don't hold on to who you were. You don't live who you were. But you're not going to know who you are if you don't know who you were. You see, I'm afraid we don't have excitement in our churches. We don't have any amens and shouting and praise because we forgot who we were. We forgot what it was like. We forgot how great it was when you got saved. Man, we ought to be excited about that. We ought to be rejoicing because, secondly, let's look at the text this morning and see who we are. Who are we this morning? You say, well, I'm a, you know, whatever your age is, woman, you have a social security number, I'm an American. I'm this and I'm that. That's great. I appreciate that. But who are you in Christ Jesus? And by the way, this is important this morning. It's important who you are. It's important. Because it's going to do something to your life. Let's look what the text says. You notice here it says, and such were some of you. But when you're a Christian, when you get saved, look what it says, ye are what? What, church, y'all right? Y'all okay? Y'all look like, I done hit on something this morning. Ye are what? Washed. And ye are what? Sanctified. But ye are what? Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hey, y'all know y'all Baptists, but that ought to get a little hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What does these things mean? You may not know who you are. So, well, I've been saved, but who am I? See, I think if you know who you are, hey, it changes everything. You know who you are. Let me give you some here. Look at, first of all, it says, you were washed. Washed clean from sin by the mercy of God, Titus 3:5. We can have our sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us we are washed by the work of Jesus on the cross for us and by the word of God. Take your Bible real quickly and just turn to one place. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Real quickly, I want you to write this down. I want you to see this. Y'all know these verses. This is not complicated. This isn't anything that I'm coming up with that's new. It says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thank God. Hallelujah. You want to know what the key to the revelation is? Read that verse. So I don't understand all that's going on in Revelation. Well, honey, if you know Jesus, that's all you need to know. He'll reveal that to you. But the Bible says here that you and I have been washed. You ever feel dirty? Anybody here feel dirty? It's been so muddy in West Virginia last, you know, it rains because our mud's getting dehydrated, amen? I mean, where I live, it's just, I don't know if everybody else, but man, my yard, my driveway, I mean, our porch, my shoes, I don't think I've had clean boots in 12 months, amen? I mean, it's muddy. I mean, you get dirty. Boy, don't it feel good when you get clean? You ever been maybe sick or something, you hadn't been able to take a shower? You take that shower and all of a sudden, anybody here take a shower this morning? Don't that feel good? I mean, I lost my toothbrush or toothpaste. I said, man, you know, finally, I said, man, I got to brush my teeth. Praise the Lord for toothpaste and toothbrush. Can I get an amen? I mean, when you feel dirty, then you get clean. I said, man, thank you, Lord, for hot water. Thank you, Lord. If you can't say amen to hot water, you ain't even right with God. Amen. But when you're dirty and you get clean, you see what happens is when you realize that you were a reviler or an adulterer or effeminate or abuser of mankind, when you are a fornicator. By the way, the Bible's full of thieves and liars and fornicators. The Bible's written by those. But the Bible says here, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that you're washed clean. So, man, I once was lost in sin, but I've been born again. That's why we sing Amazing Grace, because it's amazing. It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our words that Jesus washed us with his own blood. Who you are this morning, if you're a Christian, you've been washed. Now, the devil will come and point out every sin you've ever done. But, hey, I've been washed in the blood. What can wash away my sin? Y'all know this. What? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? What? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me, anybody remember? White as snow. Isn't that wonderful? That comes from the Word of God. So you were washed. Secondly, look what it says. You were sanctified. When you're a Christian, you're set apart from the world unto God by the work of Jesus on the cross. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10 real quickly. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. And by the way, you can cross-reference these and study to your heart's content. I encourage you to do so. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, the Better Than book. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We don't have to have that yearly sacrifice. We don't have to have the Day of Atonement. Hey, we've been atoned for. We've been sanctified. That word sanctified means set apart. We're set apart by God's Word, by faith in Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit of God. You were washed. You were sanctified. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, you're going to be set apart. The Bible teaches us when we get saved, we're going to live for God. I hear people say, man, I want to stand against Islam. I want to stand against them. I said, look, honey, if you ain't going to come to church for your faith, you sure ain't going to die for it. That's been circulating around. I've been seeing that picture. If you ain't going to come to church for your faith, what makes you think you're going to die for your faith? The difference in the average Christian and the Muslim is one will die for his faith. Of course, I thank God this morning one died for us on the cross. It ain't about our dying for the faith. It's about us living for God. But the Bible says we are washed. We are sanctified. You are sanctified. And then, listen, what's that next word? It says, ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are, what's that next word? Justified. What does that mean? We are declared just before the court of God. Not merely not guilty. Different. It's a difference. But declared just before Him. In fact, somebody said it this way. Just as if I had never sinned. Or we can even go further and say, just as if I was never able to sin. Jesus wasn't even able to sin. We are justified by God's grace through the work of Jesus on the cross. By faith and not our own deeds. I've been justified through Jesus Christ. Who am I? I'm washed. I'm sanctified. I'm just. You say, what else are you saying? You're perfect? No, but I do believe in a perfect Savior. So have you lived a perfect life? No, far from it. I thank God for His forgiveness every day. But if you're a Christian, these are things that should be present in your life. And if they're not present in your life, listen, friend, you're not a Christian. It's that simple. This is the identification marks. And these Corinthian believers, if they were, and such were some of you. Now, even the Apostle Paul didn't know who was and who wasn't. I'm not here to judge, but I know this morning. The Bible says you are washed, you are sanctified, ye are justified. He goes on here. We're also members. Look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Did you know you're a member of Christ? What you do, what you say, where you go, how you act means something. You represent somebody. You say, well, I'll do what I want to do. Not if you've been bought with a price. In fact, the Bible says you're not your own. See, we're living in a world and the church is run headlong like a budding ram to society. Because society says, do what you want to do. You know, Nike says, just do it. You know, get everything you can. It's all about you. It's all about your life. Just live for yourself. And Christianity says the exact opposite. Christianity says the exact opposite. Follow Christ. Lose your life for Him. Christ, who is our life. The key is not a set of rules. The key is not church membership. The key is not doing what the preacher says. The key is falling in love with Christ. It is Christ who we... Somebody says, well, if I do this, I'll disappoint my parents. I'll disappoint the church. I'll disappoint my boss. I'll disappoint the principal or the teacher or the neighbor. I'm going to tell you what we really got to get, because what happens is you'll eventually lose respect for all those people in your life, but you got to do it for Christ. You got to do it for Him. You got to fall in love with Him. That's the key. It says, ye are members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. You shouldn't have to have a preacher telling you every decision you ought to make. You ought to remember who you are in Christ Jesus. My granddad's been dead for years, but I still hear his voice. That's just my sinful grandfather. You and I, when we live our lives, we ought to, hey, wait a minute, the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says that. My Savior said this. I represent the Savior. It's important. I was watching a documentary about they call them the Thud Pilots. Kind of a forgotten group of military men. And they flew the most advanced airplane on the earth at that time in North Vietnam. And, of course, they weren't allowed to bomb. They had a lot of things. A lot of them got shot down. These are heroic men. I mean, they are legend in my eyes. I mean, heroes to this country. And a lot of politics. Some of y'all know about Vietnam. I'm going to get into politics and all that. But they showed one man that had gotten shot down. And I sat there watching. I was about crying. It's tearing me all to pieces. He'd gotten shot down. Big old guys. He was a football player for, I think, Tulane University. He was a fighter pilot. I mean, one of them guys, too, like you saw him, like, man, he looks like an American. He just had that look, you know, and he got shot down. They took him, had him in jail. They was parading through the street. Look what we've got. We got a great American here. He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I just give him a name, rank, serial number. Still a tough guy this day. He stood there, had him on camera, and he just stopped. He just saluted like this. He said, I knew one thing. The whole time I was in there, I just didn't, he said, I was already embarrassed that I shot down. I was already embarrassed that the enemy had me. He said, I was going to do everything I could to represent my country rightly. I sat there and I thought, right there, that guy's got me. I loved him. I was sitting there going, cheering. But he didn't want to disappoint his brothers. He set tears down his face. He said, I didn't want to disappoint my band of brothers. I didn't want to disappoint them. See, I want to stand at attention because I'm an American. And that raising he had and that love for his country. And I sat there and thought, God, I wish we could be like that for you. Whatever comes, whenever the wickedness and sin of this world comes, and, oh, get out of church. And you don't need to go to Sunday night. You can get out of the choir. And you don't need to be in Sunday school. You don't really need to Bible in your life. You don't need to live this way. Just do whatever you want to do. Your life's so important. And that guy said, he said, Lord, help me to remember who I am as an American. We ought to be like, Lord, help me to remember we're Christians. Obadiah Holmes, when they were beating him, said, those are rose petals on my back. Those are rose petals because of who he knew that made it different. You see, this Christianity thing, this is not a joke to me. It's real, friend. My throat is killing me. I don't even hardly want to be here myself. I understand being sick, being hurting. I'm going to tell you something. I represent the Lord. It's the Lord who has changed my life. I'm not doing this for me. Those people hate me because I have this position. I'm not doing this because you're going to love me. I'm doing this because God's called me. And I say all the time, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm doing it for you. Make sure that it's about you. And everybody in this building this morning, we got to make sure. We got to make sure who we are in Christ Jesus. We are members. It goes on. He says, you're not your own. Look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Hey, this just in. Your money is not yours. Your health is not yours. Your life is not yours. How many of y'all know that health is very fragile? I haven't done anything wrong. My throat's killing me. I haven't done anything. I was like, man, I'm eating vitamin C's. I'm doing everything right. Fragile. Life is very, very fragile. We're not guaranteed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to build barns and take them barns. I'm going to do this and build that. You don't know, friend, if you're going to make it through tomorrow. We are reminded every day of our frailties and who we are. Hey, and you are not your own. So many of us, this crept into our churches. I catch myself doing the same thing. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. What about me? What about me? But it really is refreshing when you realize, who are you? Well, I don't belong to me. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. We ought to live like children of the King. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. What is that price? Look at verse 20. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are bought with a price. What is that price? The precious blood of Jesus. That's why when Hebrews, when it talks about church, when you're not faithful to God's house and faithful to what God wants in your life, you are trampling under your feet the blood of Jesus Christ. Read it. Study it. Boy, I thought, man, these messages like this got hold of my heart as a young Christian. When I was away from the Lord, I was a backslider. I said, God, forgive me. Who are you? Who are you? Who were you? Who are you? And here's the thing. Look at the very last statement. It says, your body and your spirit, which are what? God's. It's God's children. You're God's child. By the way, whenever you gossip about a friend that's going to church with you, say something bad about somebody, remember now, that's God's child. I don't know anybody likes to have their children. Even if your child's a mess, you don't want anybody else saying it. Amen? I went my cousins all the way through school. Boy, if somebody else even wanted to touch him, I was like, whoa, wait a minute now. I can beat him up, but you can't. Y'all all right? Y'all look like y'all nervous. Listen now. Hey, you, that's God's child. You are special. You may be here this morning and say, man, nobody loves me, nobody cares. And I'm going through this battle, I'm going through that battle. Might be your spouse, might be your dad or mom. Hey, we reach kids, we talk to kids all the time. Don't even know where their daddies are at. Don't even know who their daddies are sometimes. And they have a mindset like, man, who am I? I'm going to tell you who you are. You're a soul for whom Christ died. And if your looks fade, guess what? You're still beautiful to God. If you put on some weight, God still loves you. Now, society won't, but God still loves you. God still cares about you. I saw this football player. He was an all-star football player. And he's given his life now to, he's raising food on this, I forget how many acre farm. He bought a huge farm and he's going to take his food to help people who don't have any food. Now, it's great that he's a great football player. That's impressive. But I'm going to tell you something. When your life gets so impacted by his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you're willing to spend your life helping somebody else, something's happened in your life. You know what's happening? He said, my money's not my own. My time is not my own. I belong. Hey, it'll change you, friend. It'll change you. So who are you this morning? Now, you say, brother, why would you preach this? Well, who we were, who we are. Then what should that do to us? When you find out who you are, what should that do to you? Well, I'm going to go to maybe five things. We'll go home. Y'all ready? Number one, you ought to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Why are we rejoicing? Because, man, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I sure am glad. Hey, there's a rejoicing because of who you were and who you are now. You and I ought to rejoice. I think of Evangelist Tim Lee. He had his legs blown off in Vietnam. The man that carried him out, they were greatest of friends. It's a black man. He's a white man. Care about that? Didn't matter. What mattered was, he's like, thank you. I was hurting and not going to survive, but now I'm out. Hey, he kissed that man right on the cheek, right on the face, because he saved him. I remember hearing that. Well, let me say something to you. You and I ought to be rejoicing. You can just see the smile every time you see the smile on his face. Like, that's my buddy right there. He brought me out when nobody was around. Let me tell you something, friend. I'm rejoicing. I had a text message this week. Somebody said, how you doing? I said, I'm hanging in there. And I said, well, are you sure you're okay? All this type of thing. I said, God is always good. God is always good. I'm not just saying it trying to be cute. I mean, God is always good. Amen. People are not. This world is not. Sometimes things around us are not, but God is always good. Secondly, another thing it ought to do is cause us to repent. Causes us to repent. I love Brother C.T. Townsend's testimony when he was running from the Lord and he went to Myrtle Beach. He was going into a bar, some type of club, to a concert, some rock concert, something. He said, I stood there in line to get in. He said, I saw this Baptist priest. I knew it was a Baptist preacher because I could spot a Baptist preacher a mile away. He said, I stood there in line, running from God. He said he had a shirt pocket. He said he had tracks where his pocket was sticking way out, you know. He said, here you come down the line, just handed. He said, here I was trying to run from God. Here comes a Baptist preacher in line passing out tracks. Hey, you can't get away from it, friend. You can't get away from that. Hey, you know what happened to him? He repented because he knew who he was. You can run and hide. You can duck and dodge. You can try to get away from it. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Who you are, you know who you are. And who you are is a lost man, and you're on your way to hell, or a lost lady, you're on your way to hell, and you put on a show at church. You know who you really are. Bob, I'm not trying to be this mean. I'm trying to be as kind as I can. Hey, you know you need to repent and get right with God. If you're a Christian, you kind of slacked up and let down. It irks me to no end to see Christians going backwards and the Muslims taking over. To see the effeminate crowd taking over and ramming everything down everybody's throat. The reprobates of this world that are on their way to a devil's hell, and we are subsiding to them. And we as Christians, instead of getting on fire for God and getting our Bibles and getting on right, you know, going for God, we need to repent. God, help me. Lord, help me to put you above everything in my life. Another thing it ought to do to us, it ought to rededicate us. You may not be in a bad place, but you look at it and say, you know what? I kind of lost my fire a little bit. I'm not as excited as I once was. I'm not as excited about the things of God. I'm talking about excitement when it's not exciting. Everybody can get excited on Sunday morning. I'm talking about Tuesday afternoon when nobody's around. And I'm talking about month after month, year after year. I've learned something as a pastor. I have great respect for those who go to church for years. It's not about whether we have a famous preacher. It's not about whether we have big offerings. It's not about what we're seeing. It's about who God is. And they serve Him out of a sense of duty and love to Him. That's real Christianity. That's the real thing. And sometimes, hey, when you think about who you are, man, I'm going to rededicate. I'm going to rededicate my life. I'm going to rededicate my agenda. I'm going to rededicate my schedule to God. Refocus would be another one. It's easy. You ever notice how easy it is to get out of focus? You start looking at things on the wrong side. You start looking at things through the, you know, all of us do that. You know, worried about money, and we're worried about things. We're worried about our appearance. We're worried about what everybody thinks about us. Hey, when I start looking at this, it says, which are God's? I remember growing up, I'd hear speeches like this. I'd say, what about this? I'd use somebody else. I said, I'm not their granddaddy. I'm yours. Sorry, too bad. They can get by with it, but you ain't going to. Let me tell you something, friend. You and I belong to God. We have a heavenly Father. And it matters what we do. We need to refocus. And then fifthly, the last thing, we'll go home. We need to refuse. Don't listen to the world, Satan, your flesh, your name, whoever. Don't listen. Don't listen. Hey, young lady, don't listen to the world says if you don't look like they look. Today, you about have to look like a harlot for the world to say you're pretty. Don't listen to that. That's not true. Hey, Christian, don't listen. If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, don't listen to that. Don't listen. The world will tell you, the devil will tell you, don't listen. Well, it don't really matter. Don't listen to that. Refuse it. No, wait a minute. I know who I am. I remember there's a fellow in the church. His last name was Sneed. His son was a star basketball player on the ball team of the Christian school we were at. Bill Sneed. He came. I never forget this. His son, had his younger son, who had a lot of health issues. Now I got to about 4 o'clock in the morning, spent all day long with him at the University of South Carolina Hospital. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, it's a big, strapping guy. I look over, and he's tearing up. I thought he was worried about his son. He said, "Brother Dallas, I owe you an apology. I barely know this guy." I said, "What?" He said, "Every Thursday night." He said, "I know you're going on visitation." He said, "I'm not coming." He said, "Every time you talk about stuff on Sunday night," he said, "I know I should be there." And the Holy Spirit sitting there in that visitation room, just me and him, just came down on him. And here's why. It wasn't because of me. Listen, I had nothing. It was because of the Lord. He said, "I know who I am." He said, "I ought to be in that choir leading it." He said, "I ought to be there all the time." He said, "I ought to be leader in the church. Instead, you're having to come and find me." And that takes a lot of maturity for a man to say, "You know what? I ought to be faithful and on fire for God, not because of you. I don't know where they're at today. It doesn't matter. But because of God." And he realized, hey, it's the Lord. It's the Lord who I'm following. It's not a man. It's not a denomination. It's not a cult. This isn't a cult. I challenge you. Look at it. Challenge it. Question it. We spent last night answering questions about the Word of God. Look at everything. It's not, I'm not telling you to follow blindly. In fact, I'm telling you with eyes wide open. Read it, study it, meditate on it. I promise you. You say, oh, wait a minute. This is even deeper than the preacher said. This is even further along than what I've been taught. I really need to get on fire for God because it's God who loves me. It's God where I get that representation. It's the Lord. I'll share something with you, church, this morning as I probably shouldn't. I told my wife this. Y'all forgive me. I love you. If you think bad of me, just think bad of me. I said, honey, I feel like that I'm worse preacher now than I've ever been in my life. I said, I'm not a good speaker. It's burdening me. So instead of telling my wife, I start talking to the Lord. I just come and I said, Lord, I want to be Charles Spurgeon. I want to be a dynamic. I want to do those things. Lord, I'm just not there. And it's bothering me. This church deserves better. God's people deserve thundering voice for God. It's almost like the Lord is not, even as I'm preaching, the Lord said, you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for me. I've called you. It's me that you have to stand before. I'm sorry you have to put up with me, but that's what he says. I trust God and you trust God. Hey, it doesn't matter what everybody else, even if I don't think, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what the world says. Let me say something to you. We have a lot of young people, instead of being on the edge of committing suicide, they say, wait a minute, I'm precious in God's sight. We'd have a lot of young men, well, they're good at ball, computers, or whatever. Instead of saying, man, I'm a loser, they'd say, I'm not a loser in God's sight. We'd have marriages and couples say, you know what? We've had all kinds of ups and downs, but guess what? We've got somebody else in this marriage, and he is going to keep us strong. See, when you get God in on this thing, it changes everything. You may go home today and say, you know, he's not that great a preacher, but God spoke to my heart through his word. That's all we want. The question this morning, church, is who are you? Who are you? Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to every heart.